Development Review Board. We will begin the August 26th meeting of the Development Review Board. This is a remote or online meeting where all participants will be on video or audio conference. We are conducting this meeting remotely so that everyone can participate safely while we are under a public health emergency. We would appreciate your patience as this may be the first DRB meeting for some on Zoom. At times, we will mute everyone but those who are speaking on your own. Please keep your audio on mute while you are not involved in the case being heard. Please note that we are recording the audio of this meeting. Since it is audio only, it will be important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. Please watch for that feed. There actually is quite a bit of change to the agenda this morning, so that will be important. The chat will also let you ask a question of the moderator, which is Ms. Gould and Mr. Rodenbeck. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relative to the meeting. I would like the DRB members to introduce themselves, starting with Water Authority.
Hello, Chris Dana, Water Authority.
Good morning, Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement.
Good morning, this is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology.
Jane Muffenberger with Transportation.
And I'm Jolene Wolfley, Chair of the DRB. Our first order of business is to suspend the rules of the DRB to one, accommodate a virtual or remote meeting of the Development Review Board through Zoom, and two, allow DRB members to provide electronic signatures for approved plans or plans after the meeting. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for this purpose?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, make a motion to suspend the rules as stated.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I second.
Okay, please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to suspend the rules for the reasons just stated. A note for the applicants, those DRB members who approve your site plan, plat, or infrastructure improvements agreement today will electronically sign those documents following the meeting today. Electronic signatures will not happen during the meeting in order to expedite the agenda. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck will be routing those documents through the DRB members after the meeting. Applicants need to have all their utility signatures complete before submitting final PDFs to Mr. Rodenbeck for signature. This is the quickest path to get signatures completed. Then the applicants will receive an email copy of the signed document. If you are approved with delegation, you will need to email me, the other DRB member accepting delegation, and Mr. Rodenbeck to get signatures at a later date. Those final signatures will also be done electronically, and please include your digital blue sheet with your email. Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, will you alert us to changes to the agenda?
Yes, for item number 6, PR 2020-004030, application SI 2020-00540 for site plan. The agent has requested a deferral to September 30th.
Okay, is there a motion to defer item 6 to the September 30th meeting of the DRB?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, make a motion to defer item number 6 to September 30th.
This is Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation. I second the motion.
Thank you.
Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number 6 to September 30th. Ms. Gomez.
And for item number 9, project 2019-002607, application SD 2020-00026 for preliminary and final plat. in application SD 2020-00107 for vacation of private easement. The agent has requested a deferral to September 16th.
Okay, is there a motion to defer item number 9 to September 16th?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, make a motion to defer item number 9 to September 16th.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, a second.
Please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number 9 to the September 16th DRB meeting. Okay, thank you, Ms. Gomez. I want to go back to item number 8. And there had been some email discussion. Mr. Archuleta, can you unmute yourself? Thank you, Mr. Arch. Good morning. On item number 8, which is PR19-1985, preliminary final plat SD 2020-117, it looks like you might need, we need to get the waiver request together with this request for a preliminary final plat. And given your submission time, we can't do, that's not on the agenda for today, but that can be done September 2nd. So are you okay with the deferral to September 2nd?
Madam Chair, members of the board, that is acceptable.
Okay. Is there a motion to defer item number 8 to September 2nd?
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I move to defer item number 8 to September 2nd.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, a second.
Okay, please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number 8 to September 2nd. I also wanted to go to item number 11. And Mr. Bohannon, would you unmute yourself?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Bohannon, this is a case that doesn't require public notice. When we set up the agenda, it looked like we were going to be very busy with our major cases, but most of those have deferred. Would you have a problem if we moved item 11 to be heard following, it would be item number 5?
No, that would be fine, and I appreciate the not having to wait.
Okay. Is there a motion to move item number 11 of the agenda to follow item number 5?
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I make a motion to move item number 11 to behind item number 5 of the agenda.
Thank you.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I second.
Okay, please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approe.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to move item 11 on the agenda to follow item number 5. Okay. I also want to point out with regard to the agenda that there are item number 2 is deferred previously to September 16th. Item 3 was deferred before the agenda was finalized to October 28th. Item 4 was deferred prior to the agenda being posted to September 9th. I'm sorry, September 2nd. And those were already listed on the agenda that was posted. I'm just announcing those actions. Okay, and that will help all of you kind of know how to plan everything. Please note that the agenda does say minor cases will not be heard before 11 a.m. So if you are agenda item 7 or later, with the exclusion of 11, we will not hear you till 11 a.m. And so if you choose to, you can exit the meeting and come back at 11, or you can just turn off your video and mute yourself and hang in the background. But we will, because the agenda is posted the way it is, we will not hear any minor cases before 11 a.m. And the DRB, if we're finished, we'll take a break until 11 a.m. and then pick up with the minor cases then. Okay. So hopefully that is clear. Now that we have the agenda set for today, we will ask any members of the public that would like to speak on a particular item to let us know that now. This is similar to signing up to speak. You will sign up now, but your opportunity to speak will be when the case is called, similar to how we do in-person meetings. If you're on Zoom, please use the raise your hand feature. If you're on video, you can literally raise your hand. If you are on audio, please press star 9. And we will go through each of you and identify the item or items you wish to speak on. Okay. I'm not seeing any hands raised at this point. Once again, you can press star 9 if you are on audio. All right. Okay. And I will check on the cases to make sure we are capturing anyone from the public who wants to speak. If there are any technical issues with the Zoom meeting, then I will end the meeting and DRB will resume at 1 p.m. today using the same link and phone number, same Zoom link and phone number. And so if for any reason, even if the meeting ends abruptly, just know that at 1 p.m., we have a plan to resume. As we begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Review Board. The DRB was created in 1982 to offer efficient considerations of technical standards. The DRB streamlines the application process by bringing together key department staff responsible for the specialized review of projects in a forum where staff and applicant meet to discuss projects and the public can ask questions and share input for those decisions. The DRB staff members apply the technical standards and requirements in the Integrated Development Ordinance and the Development Process Manual. I would like staff to be introduced and I will swear them in at the same time. Ms. Maggie Gould is the Planning Manager for Development Review Services. Ms. Gould, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Maggie Gould, and yes, I do.
Thank you. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck is DRB planner. Mr. Rodenbeck, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I do.
Mr. Shahab Biazar is our city engineer. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Shahab Biazar. I do.
And Ms. Nicole Sanchez is legal counsel to the DRB.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Sanchez. Okay. We are ready to begin with item number, let's see if one is up, yes. To begin with item number one, which is PR 2020-4183, Extension of Infrastructure Improvements Agreement, SD 2020-139. This is for MDS Investments at 4620 Turing Drive Southeast. And the applicant team, would you please raise your hand? I see Manny Pereira. Excellent. And is there anyone here with you this morning, Mr. Pereira? Okay.
Madam Chair, no.
No, okay. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead and give us an overview of your request.
Okay. So this is out at Mesa del Sol. And so that's the parcel there, and it's south, it's directly south of Molina Healthcare Data Center. And when we brought this project in, we worked with the city to break the infrastructure and work order packages into two distinct projects. The first one is fully serviced track 12A, which is immediately north of the tract we're discussing today, and that was the user. And the thought was at the time there would be an additional phase for Molina Healthcare that would expand to the south. So that first work order built the adjacent infrastructure along the frontage, road, water, sewer, and brought that in to fully service that parcel. The second infrastructure list and work order package was designed to such a level that we could identify the required infrastructure once that second phase came in, and the IIA associated with the extension that extension request today is along Sagan. It's to the south of this future track. So the request is to ask for an extension. I believe there is a financial guarantee in place for this infrastructure until there's a user identified to service that parcel. And all the other parcels created with the original action to plat this have been, the active parcels, I should say, have been fully served. So the infrastructure request extension would be to serve unidentified users now to the south and north of Sagan.
Okay, thank you. Is there any member of the public wishing to speak on agenda item number one in Mesa del Sol? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. Let's go to board comments, starting with Water Authority.
Hello, Manny, it's Chris Gannon with the Water Authority. I wanted to get some clarification. The infrastructure list includes an 8-inch water line along Sagan Avenue from Turing Drive to the western boundary of what's looked to be tract OS-5, I believe it is. Couldn't tell with the plat, it was a little bit blurry. But there was a project 775478 that installed a 12-inch water line stub along Sagan Avenue from the existing 12-inch water line along Turing, which was installed by another project, 775487. Now, that little stub is just southwest, on the southwest corner of your project along Sagan, but project 775478 references a future 12-inch waterline extension along Sagan to Watson Drive. So I'm just curious why the infrastructure list shows an 8-inch, but the what's constructed and what is intended to be extended is a 12-inch. You can just clarify.
Well, I think I'm looking at the infrastructure list. So are you requesting, I know this was designed with Bohannon Houston in terms of, in conjunction with the master plan for the water infrastructure. So let me see the. And in the financial guarantee, it's guaranteed as a 12-inch.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. If the line along Sagan is indeed guaranteed as a 12-inch, I don't know what's the mechanism to build a 12. We might need maybe input from Shahab, but just curious, why would the financial guarantee guarantee something that's not on the infrastructure list? It probably should have, but I'm just curious. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Right. Well, I think that's a good question. I'd have to, it's probably, I don't have a good answer for it other than it provides kind of a safety factor in terms of what the future usage and needs might be.
This is Chris Daniel with Water Authority. Based on the as-built and based on what's shown in the design plans and what's intended to be future. I really feel that the 12 inch is intended to extend along Sagan. Therefore, I feel that this infrastructure list that was obviously previously approved shows an 8 inch should be updated. But Shahab, this might be a helpful question, or you may be helpful with this question. Is this the appropriate time for it? I mean, if they're extending it, is that an opportunity to make a revision, a much needed revision, or how does that work?
I would probably leave it up to you. I mean, if you really need that change to be a 12 inch, I mean, I guess now would be the time to do it. It's up to you. I think right now, that really needs to be a 12 inch, needs to be amended and fixed at this time.
This is Christian Lawrence. Thank you, Shab. That's my thoughts, sure. Manny. You may want to go in my comments. I have the different project numbers that you can reference to just kind of follow the paper trail, and it can kind of show you to where I've been led today and take a look and see what your thoughts are. But I really believe it should have been a 12 inch according to previous designs and as-built. Thank you.
Okay. So what is the best mechanism, since we've got a financial guarantee in place for a 12 inch in this section? What is the best mechanism to make this infrastructure list sync up with it?
Manny, this is Christina. I'm a little bit confused when you say you have a financial guarantee. I see you have a financial guarantee for the 12 inch along Solar Mesa Avenue, but are you saying that you also have a financial guarantee for 12 inch along Sagan Avenue?
Let's see, Solar. Well, I'm looking at the engineer's estimate, and there's no 8-inch in it, and there's 1,450 feet of 12-inch in the engineer's estimate.
This is Chris Gannon with the Water Authority. So it sounds like there's a disconnect between your financial guarantee and your public waterline improvement section here. Perhaps someone found the issue and corrected it behind the scenes on the financial guarantee, but never made it correct on the infrastructure list, which I believe should, just so everything's transparent and it's clear.
Perhaps. So Mr. Cadena, the 12-inch water line that's called out up on Solar Mesa, that was fully constructed with the work order 775487.
I'm having a hard time hearing.
Okay. So the two items on this page that we're looking at, they're circled as work order 775477. Everything else that's not circled was constructed under work order 775487, and those were all completed. So all the rest of the items that are not circled on this request have been completed, closed out, accepted, and are functioning.
Mr. Pereira, Mr. Cadena was having an audio problem, so he's calling back into the Zoom meeting. Okay. You might need to just repeat your last couple of sentences.
Okay.
Let's check and see if he's back in. Mr. Cadena, are you back with us? I think his video is, but maybe not his audio. So we'll pause just a moment to get Mr. Cadena back. Okay, Mr. Cadena. Mr. Cadena, are you back now?
Madam Chair, he just sent a chat message that he's in the waiting room, it looks like.
Oh, I thought I brought him out of the waiting room. Mr. Cadena, are you there now?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Just make sure that Mr. Cadena is not on mute.
Again, his phone number just dropped off again, so let's wait another moment, and he should be calling back in. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. We're waiting for Mr. Cadena. Mr. BSR or Ms. Gould, if we need to update the infrastructure list, would we just do that as another application at a later date? Should we hold this extension to match up with an amendment to the infrastructure list? Ms. Gould?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Maggie Gould. The amendment would need to be a separate application with a separate project number. And I'll defer to Mr. Bizar on the last part, but I tend to think that we should put them together so that it's clear, so that we are amending a correct list and then the extension matches that list.
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Bizar.
Go ahead, Mr. BSR, and we'll go back to Mr. Cadena after that.
So this is Shahab BSR. So the best way would be to amend the infrastructure list, kind of clean it up, and also we could remove all the constructed items as well at the same time. And then it'll be a clean infrastructure list with all the items remaining and corrected items at the same time.
Okay. While we're on that subject, Mr. Barrera, does that work for you?
Madam Chair, just so I understand, we're saying that I would need to do another submittal, another process for this infrastructure list amendment and the extension? I understand that.
Yeah, be tied.
Okay.
So there would be an additional application that we would track with this current application to on extending your IIA.
Madam Chair, that should be fine as long as this extension request is because it's past the construction deadline of the previous IIA. So as long as the bond is not called, that should be fine.
Okay. And Mr. BSR, can you confirm that they'll be okay in terms of their bond?
Maggie, what is the amendment turnaround time? Is it like a 1 week turnaround for amending an infrastructure list?
This is Maggie Gould. Yes, I believe so. I'm actually pulling that up right now because it's not in table 6.1, but it's a minor, the amendment is a minor 1 week. And what I was looking to see very quickly is there any kind of a notice requirement? And just give me 1 minute on that. Yeah, so this is Maggie Gould. Madam Chair, Mr. Bizar, the requirement for the minor amendment to a preliminary plat or infrastructure list just requires a letter explaining the request, the original plat, and the proposed amendment. So that's a 1 week turnaround, but because it looks like there is no notice requirement, we could probably work to get that on the agenda for next week.
Madam Chair, this is Shabi. I don't see that that's going to be an issue, a 1 week turnaround.
Okay. Let's circle back to Mr. Cadena. Can you hear us now?
Yes, this is Chris Dana. Can you hear me?
Yes. So we've just been going.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Just had called disconnected. I got the fanciest phones, but they're not even worth anything. Sorry about that.
All right. Mr. Cadena, we were just going over some process questions regarding an amendment to an infrastructure list. And if you want to proceed to just clarify any changes that are needed to the infrastructure list, that's the way we're proposing to go, is to have a separate application which would amend the infrastructure list and clean it up.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. That makes a lot of sense. I'm in favor of that. So all that's needed is just update the 8-inch to a 12-inch. And Manny, now would be a good time just to ensure if there's any other items that may need to be revisited. But that's all that I was able to see. Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Pereira, you would need to just get that application in as soon as possible, in today or tomorrow. Okay. So, it looks like we're looking for a deferral on item number one to September 2nd, which is next Wednesday. Is there a motion to defer item one, PR 2020-4183, Extension of Infrastructure Improvements Agreement, SD 2020-139, to September 2nd?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, make a motion to defer item number one to September 2nd.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I second.
Please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number one, PR 2020-4183, to the September 2nd meeting of the DRB. Thank you, Mr. Barrera, and hopefully that won't hold you up too much, and we'll try to work with you to get that all set up so those will track together for next Wednesday.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the board, thank you very much.
Thank you. Item two is deferred, item three is deferred, item four is deferred. So we are in item number five, which is PR 2020-3707, preliminary final plat SD 2020-137, and site plan 2020-247. Let me start by asking the board if any of you have had ex parte communications regarding this case. Would you raise your hand? Or let me know verbally. So I didn't have ex parte communications per se, but I have had email exchanges with Mr. Shell regarding their sensitive lands analysis and a field visit I did to the site regarding some of those natural features. Okay, Mr. Cadena?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority. We've had plenty of ex parte communication regarding development agreements and utility plan. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cadena. Now let's go to introduce our applicant team. It looks like Mr. Archuleta is here. Mr. Archuleta, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Madam Chair, members of the board, Derek Archuleta, I swear to tell the truth. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Jeremy Schell, do you swear from
truth? Good morning, everybody. This is Jeremy Schell. I do affirm to tell the truth.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get an update on your project.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board.
Derek, sorry about that.
This is a request for preliminary final plat. Sketch plat was heard early July. And the property for plotting purposes is currently, and the intention is to readjust interior lots So we're keeping it from 3 to 3. And in conjunction with this is a site plan application as well. So both are being heard today concurrently. I'll hand it over to Jeremy in case he has any site plan additional comments. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Derek. This is Jeremy. I would just like to add that on the site plan side of things, over the last month, we were heard a month ago on this project for the site plan as well as the preliminary final plat, as Derek mentioned. And we have continued over the last month to work very closely with transportation, the Water Authority, and hydrology. As we work towards approval, as you are all aware, this is a large and complicated project with a lot of pieces. And so I'm confident with where we're at today. I think we will need another deferral, but I think it'll be the last deferral. And the next hearing, we will have all of the pieces put together for the entire package to be approved.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schell. Let me go to the public and see if there's anyone from the public who would like to speak on this case. And this is on Universe Boulevard between Paseo and Treeline. I'm not sure I mentioned that. Okay, I don't see anyone raising their hand at this point. Please, if somehow we missed you, go ahead and put it in chat or raise your hand or go ahead and just speak up verbally. Let's go ahead and go to board comments, Water Authority.
Hello, Jeremy. Hello, Derek. This is Chris Gannon with the Water Authority.
Hey, Chris.
With regard to the preliminary final plat, please ensure that the 25-foot public waterline easement is granted along the approved corridor for the single on-site public waterline. Now, with regard to the site plan, as you know, the development is outside the adopted service area, and it requires Water Authority Board approval. This development agreement was introduced at the August meeting, so the subsequent meeting, which is looking to be in September, would be the time in which this development agreement would be voted on. Serviceability letter 200426 provides the conditions for service. And Jeremy, I had some comments regarding the utility plan. Sheet C114 identifies a 20-foot by 20-foot manhole easement by others. Don't really know what that means. Previous discussions required this to be a private service, so please label accordingly. Also, the public water line is not labeled on the subsequent utility sheets. It is on the master sheet, but not on the subsequent sheets, and it really causes a lot of confusion as to what really is public or private, given that the symbology is very similar. The water and sewer construction notes on various pages do not differentiate between public and private. Please update throughout. The overall utility plan does not label the private water line along the west side of building 27. That's a typical example. Please ensure all lines are labeled accordingly. With regard to the infrastructure list on the sanitary sewer item, the infrastructure list indicates 1,000 lineal feet of public sewer along Chatsworth Drive from Treeline to Oak Ridge. As being part of phase two. For the utility phasing exhibit that you provided me, Jeremy, back on in an email on August 20th, there is a portion of this public sanitary sewer that needs to be constructed as part of phase one to coincide with the roadway construction. So please confirm and update accordingly. That's all that I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. I agree with all your comments. What my plan
Mr.
is Chef. To do.
Mr. Schell, do you just mind saying your name before you begin your comments? Thank you.
I apologize. This is Jeremy Schell. Chris, I agree with all your comments. What my plan is I think I can get these comments addressed very quickly. And so here, probably before the end of the week, I'll be sending you something to make sure that all of your comments are adequately addressed in anticipation of our next hearing.
Mr. Schell, can I ask you, do you have a date for the Water Board meeting on your water request?
This is Jeremy. I do not know the date of the board hearing. Chris Cadena, do you know when that is going to be held?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority. Let me look. Yeah, you were... you were introduced, Jeremy, at this last August meeting. I believe it was August 19th, as you may know. On our website, it's September 23rd.
Okay, thank you. Code enforcement.
Good morning. This is Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. I'll just read my previous notes again. VPO 2 and CPO 12 apply to this property. Neighborhood edges apply and edge buffers apply. And also, if you could include a note on the site development plan stating if any development standards are silent, provisions of the IDO apply. If you could add that on the site development plan, please. I have nothing further.
This is Jeremy. Thank you, Mr. Garcia.
Thank you.
Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. We have no objection to the request.
Thank you. Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology needs an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan and master drainage plan. Hydrology also needs a MAFCA approval. An infrastructure list is needed. Drainage line items will depend on approved conceptual grading and drainage plan and master drainage plan. Site plan may change depending on the approved conceptual grading and drainage plan. For the plat, both the proposed permanent detention ponds and the temporary retention pond need to be in a drainage easement on the plat. These easements will be based on the ponds designed in the master drainage plan. Easement location will be dependent on the approved conceptual grading and drainage. Please add the city standard drainage easement language. Hydrology, I have a note here that says hydrology recommends a month deferral, though in speaking with my engineer who's been reviewing this, she has stated to me that 2 months would probably be more appropriate. And that is all.
Okay, Mr. Shell, do you have any questions or comments on that?
Yes, this is Jeremy. Thanks, Ernest. The 2 months, does she believe that we have major outstanding revisions to be made? Because in my mind, we're very close and intend to submit this week to you guys, or is it due to the fact that you guys have a large queue of things to review?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Based on what my engineer was telling me this, she made it sound like you were not close to having addressed all issues, but I will leave that up to you two. If you feel that you can address all of the issues adequately to a MAFCA and hydrology, that's up to you.
Okay. We can discuss a deferral timeline, I suppose, once we've heard all the comments, but yes, understood. Thank you, Ernest.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. Transportation.
Good morning. This is Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation. You have added the clear sight triangles. I just wanted to make sure that the shading representing the clear sight triangles is shown in the legend for both the site plan and the landscaping plan. And also, as a separate note, the traffic impact study approval is required prior to site plan approval for the second phase of this development for any off-site improvements. Thank you.
Any questions there, Mr. Schill?
This is Jeremy. Nope, I will get that address right away for you, Gene.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Planning comments.
Good morning, this is Jay Rodenbach. We have heard back regarding P&M approval. We haven't heard back from P&M or from you regarding whether or not they are approving of this proposal, and that will be required prior to final sign-off. We have worked with you regarding the addition of a note to the site plan stating that the large rock outcropping south of tree line shall be preserved and protected from construction impacts per the DPM. It sounds like you're on board with that, so that's good news. We have a comment about easement vacations as well. There are easement vacations depicted on the preliminary plat, which have not been applied for, and you'll need to apply for those vacations. And then we just have the standard comments regarding the requirement for signatures. I did note that, and this is going to be deferred, so it's not the issue it would have been, but I, on the revised plat, Jeremy and Derek, I noticed that there weren't owner or city surveyor signatures. You know, we obviously need those really to even hear the plat, but for sure to get it approved. And we'll need utility and a map of signatures as well on the plat. And we'll need a map of signature as well on the site plan, that's been noted, and we'll need a copy of the DXF file approval email from Aegis as well for the plat. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Derek. I have a question for Jay. In reference to the easement vacations, are you talking about, as I'm looking at the sketch plat or the preliminary plat, if you could bring it up. So as we start on the top, we're talking about that one, correct?
Yes, and there's another one too.
There's temporary drainage easement right there.
Yes.
And then if you go further south, the public utility right there.
Yep.
And then the one underneath, correct? Those four?
Yes. Yeah.
Both. Okay. Perfect. And then on a side note, PNM has signed the Mylar, and we do have Lauren's and the property owner's signature. We'll definitely have it scanned and sent to you when we see each other again.
Awesome.
And you're correct, we do not have a MAFCA signature pending, obviously, the comments that we've heard before. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. And Ms. Gould, what is the time frame for getting those easement vacations processed?
So, Madam Chair, this is Maggie Gould. Let me check on the notice requirements, because I believe those vacations require the offer of a public meeting. So this is Maggie Gould. So, Madam Chair, the applicant will need to do the offer of a public meeting, and so that will require, I mean, they have, the neighborhood has 15 days to respond. If they can turn that around quicker, that's great. If the neighborhood does want to meet, then that meeting needs to take place within 30 days. So I think a sufficient deferral to at least allow that 15-day notification period.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Gould. And it sounds like, Mr. Archuleta, you understand the vacations that are needed. Let me ask, it seems like this project also went to the ZHE for a variance request regarding homes on the lower floor. Can you update me on the status of that variance request?
Yes, absolutely. This is Jeremy. That was approved by the ZHE. I included those documents in our site plan submittal. I believe at this time we are past the appeal period, and no appeal was submitted. And so I believe at this point that has been approved, and we are approved to move forward with that variance request. And then also, if I may, just going back to Jay's comment regarding PNM, we've been working with them over the last several months. The only outstanding thing they have is they would like to get an encroachment agreement in place for the infrastructure we will be building within their easement, their easement under the power lines on the west side of our site. And so I've been working with them, and they, I believe, my impression from Lori over there is that they would be willing, if that requirement would hold up our approvals here, that they'd be willing to work with us on that outside of DRB and approve DRB. But in the meantime, we are still working with them on getting that in place.
Okay, thank you. And then Mr. Rodenbeck talked about needing the surveyor's signature, and I think there was some discussion about the resolution of the plat being needed.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Regarding the resolution, I don't know if there are two separate sets of plats submitted, but I did see, but the plat that I was showing you in the screen share had much higher resolution. I don't think we had the issue that I thought we did. So I'll jump in on that.
Okay, thank you. Is there any problem getting the city surveyor signature? Because that's kind of like the beginning step one
on an application. Madam Chair, this is Derek. The city surveyor signature, I'm looking at a scan of signatures. We got it on June 19th. So it's been a while since the city surveyor has signed it.
Okay. I think this is Jay Rodenbeck. I think just the latest revision of the plat doesn't have it. I think that's the issue.
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is Derek. The changes on the plat haven't been on the first sheet. So any changes have been on the second and third sheet. So it didn't affect the city surveyor signature. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And then the last item, you submitted a sensitive lands analysis, and I did some field checking, and that's where one of the items came up with the rock outcrop, which is likely just south of your plat boundary, but could be affected by tree line. So I appreciate that you're willing to note on your site plan that in the construction of tree line, you will be avoiding that rock outcrop and also be protecting it from construction impacts. And then the other thing, I had just identified a stand of trees that was submitted as being unremarkable. I found it to be a nice little stand of juniper trees, but Mr. Schell explained in his response to me that they need to bring, do you want to go ahead and explain why you are not able to preserve that stand of junipers, Mr. Schell?
Madam Chair, this is Jeremy. Yes, absolutely. The sensitive lands analysis, the consensus planning completed, as you mentioned, did not identify that as a mature stand of trees. I know you pointed it out as a concern, but unfortunately with the current layout of the site plan, that ends up in the middle of one of our drive aisles between two buildings. And so I don't think there is a way to incorporate that into our site plan.
Okay. And would you further describe the grading that you'll be doing and filling that would also make those trees difficult to preserve?
Yes, absolutely. This is Jeremy. I think I mentioned in my email to you that most of the sites out on this part of town are sitting pretty close to a basalt rock layer underneath the surface. And so many of these sites, in order to be feasible to develop, need to import a significant amount of dirt to get above the rock to avoid the costly expense to trench through rock for utilities or blast rock to accommodate any development in this area and specifically for this site. So that said, since we're bringing in a lot of dirt, it would be difficult to preserve those trees as well.
Okay, thank you. And the reason I asked for that, Mr. Schell, is the requirement in the IDO says to preserve these features to the maximum extent practicable. And so you're explaining why it isn't practicable to preserve the junipers. Fortunately, you are finding a way to preserve the rock outcropping, which is the significant feature in the area. Okay, good conversations. It looks like this is a large project, and there's still quite a few items to review. We would prefer having you back again when you are at a point that we can approve you, that the items are done, at least for consideration of approval. We've talked about like 4 weeks and 8 weeks, and I'm with maybe 6 weeks is the sweet spot. What do you think, Mr. Schell?
Madam Chair, this is Jeremy. That's actually what I was thinking as well. Just for my own clarification on the vacations, obviously we have the 15-day public notice period. I'm an optimistic guy, and so hope I, if we do not receive any requests for public meeting in that time frame, I believe it's still a month turnaround on that request. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think the other items are more delaying than that request, than that vacation processing would be for you. I think it's probably the grading and drainage plan that is of most need to make sure the deferral matches with that.
This is Jeremy. Yes, I understand that the hydrology reviewer that Ernest was referring to, Renee, she requested 8 weeks. I think, in my opinion, we're a little closer than that. As I mentioned, we intend to submit this week. If we do not submit this week, it'll be early next. And I do not anticipate any major outstanding comments following that submittal, maybe some minor aesthetic cleanup items. But I intend to address all of the outstanding comments with this submittal. And so I think 6 weeks, as you mentioned, is kind of the sweet spot because we'll have the development agreement, assuming all goes well at that hearing at the end of September. We'll have the vacation request in as well. And I'll be hopeful that we will have hydrology and AMAPCA wrapped up at that time as well. All other items, in my opinion, are minor and can be wrapped up pretty quickly. So I would request a 6 week deferral.
Okay, so 6 weeks from today would be October 7th. So it could be October 7th, October 14th. What sounds good to you?
Yeah, I would like to request a deferral. This is Jeremy, to October 7th, if it is agreeable to the board.
Yes, it is. And we would just ask that if for some reason these things don't align for October 7th, if you'd be willing to defer until they do. So now let me see if there's a motion to defer item number 5 to October 7th.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. I move to defer this item to October 7th.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, I second.
Thank you. Please vote.
Chris Daniel, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number 5 to the October 7th meeting of the DRB. Thank you, Mr. Archuleta, Mr. Shell. Slowly but surely, you'll get there.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Just a note to our audience that item 6 is deferred and the DRB moved item 11 to be heard now at this time. And that's a sketch plat. It didn't require public notice. And that is PR 2020-4284, sketch plat PS 2020-76. This is for Garcia Real Estate Investments. And the address is 1100 Rio Grande Boulevard, between Rio Grande and I-40. The applicant team was Mr. Bohannon earlier.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I have also Jason Kent, Carlos Garcia, and Vince Carica on
okay.
As well. So, help to answer.
Okay. And Vince Carica. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and give us an overview of the project, Mr. Bohannon.
Okay, if I could share my screen, if Jay, if you could let me share my screen. Okay.
Maggie Gould, Mr. Bohannon, you should be able to share your screen.
Okay, I got it. Hang on one second. Okay, so thank you, members of the DRB. We are developing a credit union on the Garcia family's property. It's located at Rio Grande Boulevard, just north of I-40, off of Rio Grande. The range is located at this location. One of the comments was whether or not the property east of the site had been finished the appeals. Jason Kent can get on in a minute and address that in a little bit more detail, but that appeal is still ongoing, which covers this property. The properties that we're in front of you today are all the properties that are west of the Alameda Drain right through here, and they are not under appeal. We have set up and are looking at doing a sketch plat. The intent is to create parcels 3 and 4, which is at this location. This is Floral Drive. North is up. Rio Grande Boulevard is on our west, and the Alameda Drain is on our east. And what we've done is, this is a new credit union that is looking at to go in here on a ground lease with the Garcia family. The balance of that is going to be retail. And then we have the range, which is existing to the south, located at this location right through here. So our initial step is to do a sketch plat. And what we are looking at is, we have a number of lots that are west of the drain. I think we actually ended up having 23 lots from the range all the way up to Lilac. This portion is creating these lots right through here. So we're eliminating approximately 8 lots, and we're keeping and retaining 4 lots through that area. We have been looking at traffic and the ultimate connection through this area. And so we have been discussions with transportation about alternate development along this area. And so what we've had is, we've looked at the worst case, which is a potential roundabout at Floral. And so we've set everything back to where either a roundabout or a signalized intersection can be set up at Floral and Rio Grande. We've also will commit to the transportation folks to start the overall traffic study, which will include all of the property that the Garcia zone, which includes all of this property, and look at all of those areas. Traffic and traffic studies during the pandemic are a challenge, to say the least, and especially with the DOT. And so we appreciate being able to work on the credit union and to move it forward while we finish the TIS as well. With that, I think we've got the comments from the board, and so I'm ready to go through those comments with the board.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bohannon. We usually don't have public on sketch plat, but let me just ask if there is anyone from the public that wishes to speak on item 11. Okay, I don't see anyone raising their hand. Let's go to board comments, Water Authority.
Hello, Ron. Hello, the rest of the development team. This is Chris Dana with the Water Authority.
Hey, Chris.
An availability statement will be required prior to approval, and any required public water line and or sewer line extension shall be included on an infrastructure list. Upsizing of undersized waterline along Rio Grande may be required. There's a lot of that 2.25 inch, which really isn't sufficient for this site. So you may need to have some sort of extensions along that, but the availability statement will really touch on that. Public water and sewer extensions along the private road may be the best option for serving the proposed lots. The plat would then need to include a public water and sanitary sewer easement along that corridor that you were showing earlier on. Additionally, okay. A public water line may need to even cross the Alameda Drain to loop to the existing 6-inch water line along Size Road, east of the Alameda Drain. A public water line easement would need to be granted to facilitate this connection, so essentially to your easternmost property line. So we'll take a look at that. The availability statement will provide the official requirements. Now, if a public waterline and sanitary sewer easement is granted along the private roadway, each proposed lot will have direct access to the public waterline and sanitary sewer, and private water and sewer services will not, or easements will not be needed. So I think we can achieve a pretty good situation such that each lot has direct access with the extensions noted in the availability statement. Thank you.
So, Chris, thank you. We have already got Fire Marshal's approval on this layout, and so we submitted an availability request on 8/20 to your guys. We've also been in discussions with MRGCD about crossing, so extending a line across that site, it would not be problematic with MRGCD as well. What we are trying to do is also, we have a time constraint for the credit union. So my question in the availability statement for this site, and also we are doing an exhibit where we've tallied all of the existing services along Rio Grande to the Garcia's family, and we will submit that to you separately, Chris, so that you can see the number of services that we will be retiring. And looking at that, my question for the board, and maybe Carl can go in through this, is if we are currently zoned MXM, and so if we have an infrastructure list, would that then trigger the site development plan to be reviewed by the DRB because of that infrastructure list? So that's something that, Carl, you can address when it's your turn. But Chris, we are with you, and we will be looking at the overall project with you as far as water and sewer. So,
Ron, this is Chris Cadena, Water Authority. So given that you are going to have an infrastructure list, I think it would be wise to include the removal of retired services, water services, on the infrastructure list as well. That would help. That's all that I have. Thank you.
Ron Bocan, thank you, Chris. We will include that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cadena. Let's go to Mr. Garcia with Code Enforcement.
Good morning, Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. So just to let you know, CPO 6 and CPO 10 will apply to this property. This is in a major transit corridor. There, on our Aegis map, it did show the Los Durones community acequia to the rear of the property. And replat will probably be required. And also on section 34K4, step back, 6 foot step back applies to properties over one story in height. So just be aware of that. As far as a site development plan, I did not research a site development plan on my preliminary research. So if these items are mentioned that you're going to change, if they are listed on the site development plan, well, yeah, then you would need to, amend it if you're going to change any item that's listed on the current site development plan, if there is one, and or you can list it on the plan as well. But if it's not mentioned, and if it's infrastructure, I have not seen infrastructure mentioned on certain site plans. So we'll just have to review that site development plan and see exactly what it says. And I can advise you further on that moving forward. And I don't have any further comments. If you have any questions, I'll take it now.
This is Ron Bohannon. Thank you, Carl. Under MXM, and this is under, I think the combined 3 and 4 is 1.4 acres roughly. Normally we would be expecting to go to an administrative review of that site development plan. There is no previously approved site development plan on this site. So we'll work with you on researching that to make sure that we get all of our protocol and procedures correctly. The architects have been looking at the setbacks, but we may reach out to you, Carl, and dimension it a little bit closer and just make sure that we haven't missed anything because we have a real tight time frame as well. So.
Definitely, and you can absolutely meet with the commercial plan examiners at any point to go over this prior to your project. So they're here anytime for you, and yeah, we'll definitely go over it with you anytime.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. So our comments are that the subject property is adjacent to the City Parks and Recreation Department's Alameda Drain Trail Future Project. The section of the Alameda Drain Trail on 2nd between Matthew and Montano is currently at 90% design and funded for trail construction, but not landscape improvements. And then this portion is planned for a future phase. It would be beneficial for the city's Parks and Recreation Department to coordinate with the Garcias regarding the Alameda Drain Trail improvements adjacent to their project to ensure compatibility and infrastructure may be required. So this was the first time I heard that there's already an infrastructure list. Is there a way we can get a copy of that?
Madam Chair, Ron Bohannon. Cheryl, no, there's not an infrastructure list. What I was anticipating with Chris was that he's going to need one. So we will be generating an infrastructure list. Cheryl, we have been in touch with and have been discussing how to continue the landscape trail down the Alameda Drain and have had discussions with MRGCD about improvements. Right now, we're looking at doing a license with MRGCD for these areas right through here, and with an eye towards future acquirement of those. It'll be a land trade between MRGCD for portions of the Alameda Drain in exchange for the Campbell Dritch, which is on the east side of the property. We've done some cross sections, and so we can actually work with you on that to look at that trail. So my question would be, when would those improvements be triggered? We would rather trigger those later than sooner, as opposed to the credit union, because we're still working on the properties north of Floral Drive. So I guess my question is when do you anticipate those things being triggered?
I don't have information on that. Like I said, we're working on that other portion of this project, and that's still not funded completely. It's only half funded. So I'm not sure if we're going to be pursuing the trail construction portion for this portion before we get full funding. I doubt it before we complete the other portion of the trail, but it is going to be a future city project because it is in the master plan that way. So with regard to this project, I think we can go forward. It's just a matter of making sure that we have everything coordinated.
So Cheryl, what I'm hearing you, and maybe let me just kind of reword it, is we've already looked at a trail connection from Lilac North all the way down to Rio Grande. Through that area, and we've got some cross sections, and we've done quite a bit of work with Ed Garcia and Carl. And so what we could do is we've got MRGCD's got those reservation tracks through there, so we can work with you. And what we've been talking to MRGCD is would be a private maintenance in this area. And so we'll reach out separately to you, and realizing that in our site development plan, we have ample room to do the landscaping and trails. We're just trying to work out how MRGCD can maintain the Alameda Drain in here, on which side of the ditch they want to drain that on, and then look at how we can landscape that and put the amenity features in.
Yes, that's very helpful, because even though it's MRGCD land, the city PRD is paying for the trail. So we just want to make sure that we're all in the loop and coordinating.
And we'll reach out to you separately as well while we're moving this through, so that we make sure that we're not foreclosing off any issues on that trail and trail accesses.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, I think we're going to I think we're going to go to planning right now, because I think some of what Mr. Bohannon is bringing up would be good to resolve with planning right now, and then we'll go back to hydrology and transportation. So planning comments, please.
This is Maggie Gould. So we had our standard comments that go with all sketch plats, and then the comments regarding the owner's signature and the city surveyor's signature on the plat prior to final submittal, confirming building setbacks. Mr. Bohannon has already addressed the legal action, and then deferring to transportation for access. As far as an infrastructure list, that infrastructure list could either be tied to a plat or it could be tied to a site plan. If major infrastructure is required, though, then those would be the options. So either we could do preliminary plat, final plat as a major action and tie the infrastructure to this plan. And I think I'll if Mr. Beazar wants to weigh in on this, because I'm not sure that it sounds like what Mr. Cadena is going to want would rise to the level of major infrastructure. So we could tie it to the platting action, or if that major infrastructure is required, then the site plan could also be heard by the DRB.
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Beazar. We could go either way, depending, you know, I guess I would defer to the applicant to see how they would approach tying the infrastructure list based on their scheduling. I mean, I would say we could tie it to the platting action.
Madam Chair, Ron Bohannon, that's going to require neighborhood notification and going through the 15-day notification process, correct, Maggie?
Mr. Bohannon, that is correct.
Okay.
You'll go to a major, major action, yes.
Let me circle around. Thank you, Ms. Ron Bohannon. We'll circle around and we'll look at the two options to see which is more palatable to going through the neighborhood notice provisions.
This is Maggie Gould. And just to clarify, Mr. Bohannon, for the preliminary plat, final plat, no neighborhood meeting is required, but full notice is required for everything else.
Okay. Yes. Okay. We'll circle back around with you on that and we'll get fine-tune that.
Okay. And Ms. Gould, can you just make sure that we're really clear about what the infrastructure list would trigger in terms of process?
So this is Maggie Gould. So Madam Chair, I think,
if it's major infrastructure.
Right. And I think this is a sort of a slightly nuanced conversation I would like to have offline a little bit, because the IDO defines major infrastructure, and there are some clear things like roads, curb cuts, and then as determined by the DRB. And so I think there are times when we have had things where we have tied things that are basically work order level things to the minor platting action. So this is where I would like some discussion probably with our engineers and with Mr. Cadena about what actually would be on this infrastructure list.
Okay.
And that informs our process as well. Again, to me at this point, it sounds like it is major infrastructure, and so the process that we've, you know, the process that we've outlined would be the options, either the site plan DRB or a major platting action through DRB.
Any questions on that, Mr. Bohannon?
Ron Bohannon, Madam Chair, no, I think I understand. I would, I'll just keep close tabs with you and your staff as kind of moving forward, as well as hopefully when we get into the actual availability statement with the Water Authority, we can get some clarity on that as well. I've got some ideas that I can run by the Water Authority when they actually start modeling the system through that process.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. Hydrology needs an approved grading and drainage plan prior to approval of preliminary plat or site plan for building permit. The infrastructure list may be required based on the grading and drainage. Cross-lot drainage easement may also be needed, and the note specifying the beneficiary and maintenance agreement would go along with that.
Ron Bohannon, thank you, Ernest. We're about 60% in done with our overall drainage master plan. We're creating one from Lilac all the way down to the range, and it'll be a series of ponds that are connected and then outflows to the Alameda drain. We hope to submit that late next week, and just to give you a schedule. But right now, we've looked at everything, and we're still going to be under the six-hour storm events, and we'll just slow it down and drain it through the straw into the drain. So we're on top of it. Hopefully, you'll see a submittal soon.
Thank you.
Transportation.
Good morning. This is Jean Wiffenberger with Transportation. I'll cover some of my most standard comments first, and then we'll get to the details. And as usual, just show existing curb sidewalk widths and distance from curb to property line for adequacy purposes along Rio Grande Boulevard to determine what requirements may be needed along Rio Grande Boulevard with regard to right-of-way width and sidewalk. Also, ensure sufficient queuing is available prior to platting action for the credit union. Evaluate parking as well for the credit union and adjacent existing sites. Establish shared parking and access as needed on the plat. As we had discussed before, a traffic impact study shall be required for the entire subdivision shown. The infrastructure list generated as a result of the study shall be tied to the site plan for further development beyond the credit union. However, we do need to take a closer look at the feasibility of a traffic circle versus the traffic signal that you are proposing as two alternatives, which would determine the outer lot lines. And I believe you mentioned you were already working on some type of analysis with that. And due to the proximity of this site to DOT, we'll need some comments from them on this development.
Ron Bohannon, Gene, thank you. Yes, we'll reach out to Margaret Haynes and Nancy Perea, start setting up those areas. Raquel was there, we'd actually had done quite a bit of work with Terry Brown and Andreas Aragon on this study, and so we've actually gone quite a ways. The issues now is we can update the traffic study to include not only all of this development, but all the development on the east side. We have looked at alternatives, and what we're looking at is to make sure that all alternatives fit within the limits that we're platting, and we are working up some final designs for this roundabout solution as well as the traffic signal solution, so that whatever we end up with at the end, we won't have any issues with the right of way. And so we'll be submitting that to you under a separate document.
Thank you. Yes, I understand that. I guess you had mentioned that earlier. I did just want to make sure the capacity of the roundabout would be sufficient is all.
Ron Bohannon, Gene, yes, we're working with Terry Brown to make sure that those actually have capacities.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm
yes.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I just wanted to ask the applicant if he could update us on the court case. Is that, has that been solved?
What I might do, Jason Kent has been listening in. Jason, if you can unmute yourself, identify yourself, and then give an update to the board.
Jason Kent, can you hear me? This is Jay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Mr. Kent.
I'd like to address the question about the zoning case and status, and then if I have permission from the chair, talk briefly about the question of infrastructure and traffic also, but only if Ron Bohannon permits me to do that. I'm just imagining that it might be useful. And I understand that my comments are under oath. May I proceed?
Yes, Mr. Kent.
So I'm the Garcia family attorney and have been involved with this property and other legal matters for the Garcia family for a couple of decades. On the status of the zoning case, just as background for anyone who isn't aware, the Garcia family has had a long-term plan to establish a grocery store in this area in a village center to serve the Los Duranos community and that part of the North Valley, where many, many neighbors have said for a long time that there's a need for a modern grocery store. As part of that process, the Garcia family applied for rezoning of the property that's adjacent to the freeway there, totaling a little over 11 acres, five and a half of which is already M1, and another six or so of which are R1, to be zone C2 to permit a grocery store that would create an 11 acre commercial site adjacent to the freeway. In addition, they own a total of something on the order of 21 acres on the east side of the Alameda Drain, and have proposed rezoning to R2 as a buffer and then a further R1 buffer to the north, so that the C2 grocery area with other commercial services would be buffered to the residents to the north. That rezoning action was supported by the Symphony Neighborhood Association, and which is immediately north of there, and also the Los Duranos Neighborhood Association. They, as anybody is, including the Garcias, concerned about traffic impacts, but they support it because of the need for those services in the area. One opposition group and one neighbor opposed the rezoning in a district court appeal from the city's approval of that rezoning in 2017. That appeal took more than a year in the district court process, and then the rezoning was largely affirmed by the district court, but remanded on two issues, and not rejected, but with the request by the court that the Environmental Planning Commission consider two issues, which they have done. That there was one hearing in August of last year in which the EPC reaffirmed the zoning, answered the district court questions. The same opposition group and neighbor then claimed a lack of notice situation, even though they appeared at the EPC hearing. So there was a second EPC hearing that was held in December of last year, once again reaffirmed the rezoning unanimously. That was appealed to the city council by the same group and same neighbor. The city council unanimously reaffirmed the rezoning and accepted the decision of the EPC as in addition to the decision and recommendation of LUHO. That case is now pending in district court, and it may take another year to resolve. We were optimistic at the beginning of this year that we might get a decision by the end of this year. That affects the property on the east side of the drain, and obviously what happens on the west side of the drain and the four-wheel drive road as a potential access point to a grocery store on the east side is entirely dependent on the outcome of the zoning appeal. And there is reason to think, because of the way the opposition group and the neighbor have proceeded in the past, appealing everything, that they'll probably appeal whatever the district court does to higher appellate courts. So there's really an uncertain time frame here on what, if anything, will happen on the east side of the drain, despite the fact that the Duranis Association and the Symphony Association want this development to take place. The planning on the west side of the drain, which has also been a long-term Garcia family objective, they own all but the very corner of that property at Lilac and Rio Grande Boulevard. The rest of this they've accumulated over the last 30 years with the idea of this being part of the same village center. That is also sort of a chicken and egg situation, which is the optimum village center uses, mixed uses for this western portion are highly dependent on what can happen on the east side, whether there will ever be a grocery store, and what the density should look like and what the users should look like based on that. So when the credit union came along and expressed an interest in locating here and indicated that they have a time-sensitive need to provide their credit union services in the North Valley, but they're looking at several locations, a lease was entered into with the several conditions in it, including time-sensitive conditions about being able to replat this one portion, which of course is required for a building permit. But the Garcias are not in a position to present a site development plan for the overall project, even on the west side at this point, because of all of this uncertainties. If you can recall, I can, from my age, when the Rio Grande Cantina was here, going way, way back, the destination bar and restaurant was eventually torn down by the Garcias, but there was a venue there. In addition, the Range restaurant was a Burger King, if you recall. And the infrastructure for all of that has been there a long time, and the stoplight has been there a long time. And so our hope was that we would be able to get a lot line adjustment so we have a buildable track for the credit union on a reasonable time frame, and without having to go through the entire site development process, which might push us past the credit union's window. With regard to the infrastructure issue and the traffic issue, Ron, do you want to shut me up at this point, or would you like me to just add a little color about that?
I think it's good. I think we've got a good handle with the various DRB members, and we can circle back around.
All right.
Yeah, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kent, for that overview. It's actually helpful to try to understand how this request fits in the context of where the entire area, where you're trying to go with the village center. I found that helpful. Are there any other questions that you have, Mr. Bohannon or Mr. Kent?
This is Ron Bohannon. I think we've got enough to digest, and we will be reaching out to the various departments to get clarification, and hopefully we will be coming back in with a platting action shortly. So,
okay.
And this was very helpful. As always, DRB is very insightful, and like I said, sketch plats sometimes are pretty mundane. This one is not mundane at any stretch of the imagination. So,
okay, thank you. We are at a point in our agenda where we need to recess in order to match the timing on the agenda for minor cases to be reviewed at 11 a.m. Is there a motion from a member of the DRB to take a recess and resume at 11 o'clock, and that would be with item number 7 on the agenda, the minor cases.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I move to recess till 11, where we start with the minor cases.
Thank you.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Okay, please vote.
Cuscano Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to take a recess at this point and resume the meeting at 11 a.m. I'm going to ask DRB members to try to come back maybe like 5 minutes early so we can start right at 11. And also just go ahead and stop your videos and put on mute. You can remain in the meeting. That goes for anyone. You can choose to go out of the meeting and dial back in, but you can also, since it's just a short recess, you can just mute yourself and stop your video and then have privacy during the break. Okay, thank you everyone. We'll see you. DRB members, I'd like you to come back at, 3 or 5 minutes before 11 so that we can start right at 11. Okay, thank you. So if you can get ready to start our recording, when my clock says 11, we'll begin. Okay, that's now. The Development Review Board is reconvening their August 26th meeting after a recess to consider minor cases per the agenda at no earlier than 11 a.m. Ms. Gomez, are you ready with the recording? Okay, thank you. We are on item number 7, which is project PR 2019-2928, Street Width Variance 2020-107, Preliminary Final Plat SD 2020-74, Vacation of Public Easement SD 2020-72, Vacation of Public Easement 2020-75. This is for John R. DeBusage, Red Angle Homes at Brookline Drive between Ardmore and Endeavor Road Northwest. Would the applicant team please raise your hand? Mr. Patrick, anyone else with you?
I believe so.
Okay. Go ahead and update us on where your project is and how you've been able to address comments so far.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. And department heads there. We were deferred from June, and I believe at that time the only outstanding issue was a service connection agreement with the Water Authority. At that time, we understood, or were made to understand, that two meetings would be required. One meeting, I believe, to get it on the agenda, and then a second meeting a month later to approve the service connection agreement. Now, I understand that our engineer, Mr. David Sewell, has made that application. I hope he has. What I don't know is when we are supposed to defer to. I'm asking the Water Authority for some guidance here. Are we going to have September, October hearings, or are we going to have October, November hearings? And I hope that Chris can enlighten me about this so that we can make an accurate deferral date.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on item number 7? Please raise your hand now, or you can indicate by voice. Okay, let's go ahead to DRB comments, Water Authority. Mr. Cadena, I'm going to unmute you if I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now, Mr. Cadena.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. Street width variance, I'll defer to transportation. With regard to the preliminary final plat, Tom, I provided you previous comments for previous DRB hearings indicating the property is outside of the Water Authority's adopted service area and will require a board-approved service connection agreement, as you are aware of. prior to approval. And I sent you an email saying that you needed to start that process. I don't know if you said David Sewell has started the process. I haven't heard from him regarding that. But what it is we essentially worked together to fill out a boilerplate legal document, and we supplement that with the serviceability letter number 200409, which has been issued and provides the conditions for service. That's presented to the board. And typically a service connection agreement is just a 1 month turnaround. So if we can get it ready in advance of our deadline to be heard in September, then that would be ideal. But you'll need to work with David or myself, whoever the proper contact is, so that we can get that going. And I believe I've sent you the template previously, Tom. So I have not received that back from you. I think I sent that about a month or two ago. With regard to, or I have a third comment. Note that if the water and sewer services are on an infrastructure list, that will trigger a work order. It is recommended to remove these from the infrastructure list if really nothing else is to be included on the infrastructure list, just to make your project easier, and you don't have to financial guarantee all of those services. With regard to the vacation of public easement, there's no objection for either vacation of public easement. And that's all that I have. Thank you.
May I, Chris, can you tell me, this is Tom Patrick. Chris, can you tell me what your deadline is for a September hearing?
This is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. Our folks internally usually require about 10 to 15 days prior to the board hearing. I haven't received that email yet. It's usually about 10 to 15 days before that hearing. Thank you.
Okay. That was my, really the only thing that we were concerned about at today's hearing is when we would defer to. So we would want to defer to after the September hearing.
Okay, and this is Chair Wolfley. Mr. Cadena, if I remember correctly, it seemed like the board was going to meet September 23rd.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I close out that window. Let me see.
Yeah. That's what you said on the earlier case. Yeah.
Yes, September 23rd.
Okay, so then roughly 15 days before that would be like the 8th of September that things would need to be pulled together to submit.
All right.
Does that seem doable, Mr. Patrick?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, I'll consult with our engineer, Mr. Sewell, but I'm certainly hoping that would be something that we could do.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
I apologize. This is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. Please let me know. I've sent you previous emails with the boilerplate for you to fill out. If you need me to send that to you again, then I can do that. But all we really need is just for you to fill out very basic information so that we can get that going. Thank you.
This is Tom Patrick. Chris, if you would send that again, because I don't remember seeing it. But my email is a mountain of mess. So if you would do that, I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. And it sounds like that was the main information you wanted to hear. I think there might be at least one board member that has a new comment for you. Let's just go through really quickly, starting with code, and if you have anything, you can just say pass if you don't have anything more to say for this case. So let's go ahead and to code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement, pass. I have nothing further.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. Pass. I have nothing.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. Pass.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. Pass.
Okay. So, Ms. Wolfenberger, your comments have already been addressed.
Yes.
About the condition you want on the plat. Okay. And then planning. Do you have anything more to add?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. We just need the utility map, the signatures, and a copy of the DXF file approval email from AGIS. That's all we have.
Okay. And you're working on a MAFCA then, Mr. Patrick?
Yes, I'll get a MAFCA signature.
Okay. So if you were at the board on September 23rd, then you could be again with us on September 30th. Is that what you'd like to strive for?
I think that would be great if we could do that.
And what I would suggest to you, Mr. Patrick, if you miss your date with the water board, then contact Ms. Gould or Mr. Rodenbeck, and let them know, and we can just defer you ahead of the meeting. And that can be simple. Okay, is there a motion to defer item number 7, PR 2019-2928, with the associated applications to September 30th?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I move to defer item number 7 to September 30th.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Okay, please vote.
Chris Daniel, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number 7 to September 30th. Okay, thank you, Mr. Patrick, and good luck getting everything pulled together.
All right,
thank you. We're cheering you on.
Thank you all.
All right, thank you. Just a reminder, we have deferred previously items 8 and 9. So we are on item number 10 of our agenda, which is PR 2020-3222, preliminary final plat, SD 2020-116. This is for the mall at Cottonwood, 10,000 Coors Bypass Northwest, subdividing one existing tract into two tracts. And let's see, Mr. Pine is here to represent this case. Is there anyone else with you, Mr. Pine?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. Go ahead and give us an update from the last time we saw you.
Yes, Madam Chair, the board members, this was a deferral from last week pending Albuquerque Water's authorities' comments. I believe we submitted all the supplemental information to satisfy his comment and get this plat moving forward or approval. To add on that, Madam Chair, his first comment for the off-site public sewer easements, the documents are in process of getting signed, so we are and get it recorded. Wait to hear from Stan for comments.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pine. Let me first to open the floor to see if there's any members of the public that wish to speak on this application. Please raise your hand in Zoom or press *9 if you're on the phone. Okay, I don't see anyone. Let's go to board comments, Water Authority.
Hello, Jason. This is Chris Denner with Water Authority. All offsite public sewer easements and private sanitary sewer easements shall be recorded prior to approval. That's just to ensure that, one, we're not landlocking your subject property, and two, we have the necessary public easement as we previously discussed. And for information only, serviceability letter 200115 has been written and provides the conditions for service. Please note that the property is outside of the adopted service area and service is contingent upon Water Authority Board approval. In this case, it may likely be a service connection agreement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Cadena, I'm going to ask you, so what is the impact of that in terms of approval?
In terms of the board, this is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. In terms of the board approval, we'll get that on a service because this is just a platting action at this point, and that doesn't really need the board service. So once, if a site plan comes in or prior to them needing service, it was more of an informational comment that they'll need the water authority board approval. For plat approval, I can't sign until we get the paper, the public and private sewer easements via paper documents recorded. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So you could take delegation for those easement recordings, correct?
Absolutely. Chris Cadena, Water Authority, absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's go to code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Code Enforcement reviewed this project for compliance with the IDO and has no objections or comments at this time. Thank you.
Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. We have no additional comments and no objection to the request.
Hydrology.
Ernest Starmiho, Hydrology. Hydrology has no objection.
Transportation.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. Transportation has no objection.
Planning.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Staff has no objection to the plat.
Okay. And are we in need of any signatures?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. No, we are not.
Okay. All right. How about a DXF file?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Jason, you can confirm this. I believe you got that to me as well. I would have had that as a comment otherwise. I believe you got that. Can you confirm that, please, Jason?
Yes, I sent it to you yesterday, Jay.
Yep.
Okay. Just give me 1 second. I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the application. If you're accepting delegation, please summarize the delegation and the time needed. So this is for voting, Water Authority.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve a delegation for the recording of the off-site private sewer and public sewer easements. And I'll defer to Jason as to when he feels that is appropriate. Thank you.
Carl Garcia with, I'm sorry, I apologize. Go for
it. This is Jason with Cartesian. I will, 2 weeks sound reasonable.
Okay, I'll finalize that when it gets to me, Mr. Pine. Let's go ahead with voting, Mr. Garcia.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger, Transportation, I approve.
Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. With delegation for the DXF file and final signature for, I'm just gonna say 4 weeks. You can certainly do it sooner. There is a consensus vote to approve item 10, project PR 2020-3222, preliminary final plat SD 2020-116. Because the application meets all the applicable requirements of the IDO and DPM, with delegation to Water Authority and planning for 4 weeks to address the issues just stated. All right, thank you, Mr. Pine.
Thank you, Madam Chair, board members.
Yeah, you've worked hard to get to this point, so congratulations. Okay,
yes,
the last item on our agenda is the action sheet minutes, number 13, action sheet minutes for August 19th, 20. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I move to approve the action sheet minutes from August 19th, 2020.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Okay, please vote.
Chris Dana, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger, Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to approve the action sheet minutes of August 19th, 2020. Okay, thank you, everyone. DRB is adjourned as of 11:18 a.m. Mm-hmm.